Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature. Hey, all you freaks. Thanks for tuning into another episode of the Love Freak Podcast. I am here with artist, muralist, activist, and now author, Ruben Rojas. Ruben is a visual artist, and if you're living in the Los Angeles area, I'm sure you've probably seen his work all around the city, and I'm sure it's probably encouraged you to either think a little deeper or have an honest conversation with a friend or feel inspired in one way or another, or just maybe even feel a little bit better about your day. He paints these life-giving, vibrant murals on these blank walls all around town, inspiring people to live through love. And what a beautiful mantra that is as we enter into 2021. And even though 2021 has not been off to a great start, I think that living through love is such a great reminder to help us remember where to stay grounded in our deepest truth. How can we love deeper in these times? How can we live in opposition to what the world is telling us to feel and to choose something greater and something more unifying? That's just a little food for thought. So let's get back to Ruben, because I think he can really help us with this. Like, Ruben is all about inspiring others to see themselves and the world around them in a new light by changing their inner dialogue and inspiring and uplifting communities to dream big and to live their highest potential. His work, you can find it not just in LA, it's all over the place. His messages are catching fire, and they can be found now in places like New York, Texas, Mississippi, Florida, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and even France. So that's pretty cool. And when I saw his work around town, I had to contact him, and I had to have him on this podcast, because his mission isn't just to inspire people in their artistic creativity, but to just also live more creatively and make beautiful art with their experience by just living as they are and as who they are, in a way that kind of encourages hope and acceptance and authenticity and possibility and ultimately love. So the sole reason that I started this podcast is because I saw such a connection between creativity and spirituality. We're all natural born creators, creating a beautiful masterpiece with our lives and our spirit if we choose to. And we have this ability to connect in such a profound way with a divine creativity that is source energy, that is love. And that love lives within each one of us. And it's just waiting for us to realign and reconnect with it after all these years of disillusion and false stories and limitations that we've allowed ourselves to kind of attach to. And this nature, this divine nature, allows us to live a life of true love and authenticity, which just spills over into our communities and eventually has this lasting impression on our world. And isn't that what we need right now? Totally. So seeing Ruben kind of choose to use his gift and his innate passion to move and change the world around us and remind us to reconnect with that divine love and who and what we truly are,
It's completely inspiring to me and it gets me all fired up. So let's get to chatting. Ruben, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me. What an intro.
You can't see him right now. I don't always post these things online, but sometimes I do. He's got his art in the background. He's wearing his love shirt and he's just so on brand right now. I'm so impressed. But Ruben, I got in the hat, everything. I got to know your story. Like, can you just tell me, you know, where you're from? Have you always been an artist? When did you pick up your first paintbrush? Tell us everything.
Born and raised in LA. So this is my city. I am very proud of it. I love it.
Hell,
I always
yeah.
say if I'm going to move anywhere else in the country, I would have to leave the country because like, where else am I going to live? But I was always an artist, but no one tells you go become an artist. So I didn't actually follow that path. I did a lot of art and I did a lot of painting and creating throughout my entire life. But not until, you know, a couple of years ago did I really say, okay, let's do this. But, you know, as a kid, my mom put us in oil painting classes and wood shop and crocheting and you name it. I could do all kinds
crochet.
Of crafts.
You can crochet.
I probably need a refresher, but yeah, a little loop, doop, 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 pull it through.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's like you should be able to do almost everything. Not in excellence, but like, the more you know, then when you hire people for things, you know if they're being honest with you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't need, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah, I know how to crochet. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it shouldn't take you 75 hours to know. Anyway, but yeah, so I've always been
painted.
An artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always, I mean, there's long years where I didn't do anything. Obviously, but I would doodle on paper or my art would be photography or it would be writing or art isn't everything. It's not just one thing.
So
it could be,
true.
I go through stints of cooking. So whatever, you know, and then I was an athlete. So sports really took up my life. So it was athletics.
Did you play? What sport?
Football, track and soccer.
Oh, dang. Okay. All right.
And then CrossFit a couple years ago.
And then crochet.
Crochet.
You would play football and then yeah.
and then go crochet my beanie for after when I take my helmet off.
Absolutely. That's hilarious. Yeah. I love it. So you said there was a lot of years in between that you weren't painting. You weren't doing art. What were you doing in that time period?
Life. I guess it depends. I mean, in school, I would, you know, design people's book covers and things like that. But after that, it was always get good grades, do sports. So sports was everything. I played mm-hmm. sports year round and I enjoyed it. And then I went to college. And in college, I played a couple years of football. And it was just get good grades and go become a doctor. That was the plan initially. So I have a degree in exercise science and a whole bunch of other stuff. That is all
wow.
very much science-based. So I didn't go to college for art. I didn't take any artsy classes. I mean, philosophy for writing was about it. But everything was chemistry, organic chemistry, biology, microbiology, anatomy.
The things
everything
that make
in that
you money.
Kind of yeah, exactly. That's what I do now.
Yeah.
And then I decided not to go to med school because someone's like, hey, come try out real estate. And I made a whole bunch of money my first month in real estate. I'm like, $500,000 in debt, 35, bald, fat, surgeon, potentially all that, right? You know, that's I'm thinking worst case. Or, wow, I made this much in my first month of real estate. It could be millions in the account versus $500,000 in debt.
Sounds
so I went down that path. It was about money. It was about money. And I was in my early, really young 20s. And this country tells you to define your success via what you have.
So true.
You know, the nice big car, the rims, the house, the this, the that. Like, that's how you find your value. And clearly it's not. And I'm on a different path now. It doesn't mean I don't like nice things and nice cars and all that. But that's not what defines me anymore. That's not how I show my worth. It's not the boats
wow.
and the nice watches and all that.
Did you feel like in that time period that the art kind of got beat out of you in a sense of like, well, I have to make money. I have to do things that do prove success. So obviously that who can make money doing art, you know, like a lot of people, they don't kind of follow those dreams that they have because they feel like they do have to kind of grow up and do something that's going to put food on the table. Is that where your head was?
No, not at all, actually.
Really?
Great question, though. No one's ever asked that. Art was just a thing. When I took notes in class, I doodled and I drew and I did all that. It was never toward the top of the list of this is what I'm going to become, right? And that's why I consistently say that, like, no one tells you to go become an artist. They tell you to be a doctor, a banker, go to finance, go to, you know, becoming a lawyer, all these things. They don't say go become an artist. So it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't an option. It wasn't like, I'll fail at this and I can't do it. It just was never put up there on the list. So it was just part of me, but that was it.
Wow. So it wasn't even like, this isn't really an option. It was just kind of like, wow, I like to doodle. Okay, cool. But I'm okay. Exactly. That's so funny that you say that. Just a little side note. One of my teachers, I'm such a creative person in every single way, shape, and form. Like, that's all that I am, little ball of creativity. And in high school, I always had a really hard time paying attention and I would doodle. That was the only way. I was a visual learner. So I would sit and I would doodle all throughout class and draw all these pictures. My notes were elaborate and beautiful, yep, amazing. And my teacher pulled me aside one day and she was like, you know, she was a great teacher, by the way. She was like, you know, I'm really offended because I feel like you never are listening to my lectures. You're always head down doodling on your page. And she's like, while your page looks amazing, I don't feel like you're retaining information. I said, oh my God, Ms. Cuvion, I'm so sorry. You need to know that I'm hearing every single word that you're saying. You could give me a test right now and I would make 100%, but I just have to learn by creating. That's my way of learning. And it's just so interesting, like school, even these days, they kind of suck that out of you. You know, you have to sit in a desk, you have to look forward. Like, you know, there's maybe one art class that it's an elective, like you can't, a lot of people learn that way. They're just naturally creative people. And it does, I feel like, kind of get ironed out of us in a sense. Or we just don't feel like it's really an option, you know? So let's get to your message. So now you weren't really in thinking that you were going to be an artist. You were making this money in real estate. And then what flipped in you to not only say, okay, well, I am going to be an artist, but I'm going to do art that inspires people.
Well, we got to continue with the story to go there because a lot of this is looking back and reflecting, right?
I love this. Well,
most of what happens to us, you know, it's happening to us. It's happening for a reason. And we can either roll with it or react to it. And then we could talk about that a little bit later. But so finance, I'm in finance. I make 20 grand my first month and then 22 grand and then 25 grand and I'm 23 years old. Imagine when you're making that much money at that age. Like, that's what you care about. So that was everything. But, you know, everything that goes up must come down. At some point, it's going to happen. And whether you plan for it, don't plan for it. So 2008 happens. Everyone knows what happened, whether you're really young, so you saw what happened to your parents, or you were old enough to experience it because you were in the business, or you were way older and it really hammered you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happened. It is what it is. I could sit there and say, I'm a victim to that. Or I could be like, it was all part of the equation. It was all part of the journey. And, you know, 2008, 2009, I'm bankrupt. I have nothing. And I'm like, oh, what do I do with my life now? And you start realizing slowly, again, by reflection. This wasn't like, oh, poof, none of that mattered. I'm like, wait a minute. Where's everyone? Where's everyone you helped out? Because I was generous with the money because not everyone was making that kind of money around me.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, you're moving back home and living with your brother. And I'm like, whoa, I had all this. Now what's happening? And that's what defined me. No, I'm bigger than that. So for the next year, I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do? A couple people say try out financial services. So life insurance and retirement planning. I'm sitting here in like a fork in the road of like, I have no idea. I've always been self-employed. I've always been like in sales. So I understand the commission-based business, which doesn't scare me because it's all based on me. Again, everything's always been about me and personal responsibility. So I go into this business and I do well. Right out the gate, I do well, you know, leaders conference, all the things. 4 or 5 years into this thing, I'm like, whoa, this is starting to look a little bit like deja vu. The money was not as big as it was in real estate. Asterisk that one. But it was good enough to make a living and get back on my feet and rebuild. But I'm again in a business that is chasing money, and money's defining you and all they dangle. And it's great work. What we do for people is amazing. Life insurance is important. Disability insurance is important. Saving for retirement is important because we are going to get old. We sometimes get disabled, hopefully less than that. And we are going to die at some point. And I had the benefit of, it's sad because I didn't want this to happen, but like 2 years in, I had one of my clients get a disability claim, and it gave this person a lot of money every single month while she was recovering.
Sure.
So I know it worked. And then at the end, I had already left, but one of my ex-assistants actually was killed in a tragic gun shooting that happened at the borderline. The one in Thousand Oaks.
Oh my gosh. I am so sorry. That's horrible.
It's horrible. And how it affected everything. But he had life insurance at that young age, and we were able to give this to his parents. That's not going to bring their son back. But it's going to help with whatever you need to like do the time and figure things out. So again, it's good work that we do, but it was very much about the carrot and the money and the dangling. And I didn't operate that way anymore. I wasn't wired that way anymore. I didn't care about the fancy watch anymore. And don't get me wrong, I like really nice watches. I just don't need it. My Apple Watch is great. It's covered in paint. It's all I need. I'm good. It's simple. And I'm just a little simpler on a lot of things that we don't need as much anymore because I'd rather get experiences like travel.
Oh yeah,
and see the world and be able to do that. So
that fill you up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So 5 years in, I'm into this thing, and I'm really starting to be miserable. I'm questioning: am I depressed? Like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to work. Mm. I'm dreading putting on the suit and tie. Like, I just didn't want anything to do with it. And more was this conversation, and I also saw the conversations of my clients. You know, the stories that they're talking about, what's affecting them, or seeing how they've compromised to be able to provide for the family, but like the relationship in the family is terrible. Kids resent them, you divorce. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I started looking forward. I'm like, I don't care if I'm making millions of dollars. And I don't care if I can provide this extravagant lifestyle if I don't have anyone to celebrate it with.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I already saw like this could lead to a divorce because I'm so miserable. I'm going
to
project.
You just don't have anything to give, you know?
Exactly.
There's nothing left.
So a buddy of mine, he's got, you know, he's an inspirational guy. He's got his own podcast and stuff. He's like, hey, come check this thing out that I'm doing. And I'm like, all right, dude, I'm feeling like this. Whatever. Let's tell me about it. We went and got coffee, told me about it. It's like right place, right time. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I signed up. It was a leadership workshop, emotional intelligence and that kind of stuff. And I went through the first weekend. I'm like, okay, then the next weekend, then the month thing after that. And in that is when I met my business partner for Beautify Earth, Evan Meyer, who saw me.
I want you to talk about Beautify Earth too here in a second.
Yeah, do you remember the doodling for notes and doodling all that? So I was doodling because each class graduates and they all have like a matching hoodie. So I'm like, oh, let me sketch out a design. And I designed the hoodie for it. He's like, dude, we got to get that on a wall. Wow. And I'm like, on a wall? What do you mean? Like a mural? And I was a huge fan of street art. Like whenever I traveled, it was, let me go find the street art section, take photography of it. So in that case, photography was my art in that little stint. Mm. And I never would have thought like I'd be doing that now in this. It's just how things happen. So we end up enrolling the whole class in our community service project, becoming a mural. Cool. So I designed this mural, we painted it, and that turned out to be the first mural. And on the left, it says, who will you be? On the right, it's all these words of empowerment: grateful, humble, love, leader, responsible, worthy, joy, happy. So all those ways of being that we get to select to be, right? No one can make us happy. We get to choose to be happy.
100%.
And from there, that started. And then another mural, and then another mural. So in the meantime, I'm still a financial advisor. I don't know what being an artist looks like. I'm sabotaging this business because I still don't want to be in it. But I have found, like, there's got to be something else. Like, and then 3 years of doing that, you can't live in the middle. You can't be half in something, half out of something. You can't not give something your all, whether you want to take the risk of leaving or pursuing it. And finally, I just said, fuck it. And I stopped going to the office.
You stopped going to the office.
I just stopped going to the office.
That's so brave.
A full-time artist.
Wow. And were you making money at that point doing the art? Was it coming in and out, or were you just like, you know what? I don't know where the next check's coming from, but I'm going for it.
No, it wasn't that. There's a little bit. Obviously, there's a little bit of that. I didn't really have a brand yet. I figured out in testing. So those couple years of half in and half out, I'm still calculated. I'm still strategic. I didn't just be like, oh, we'll see where rent comes next week. No.
Yeah. Okay.
I would take on projects and execute murals and art things, regardless if it was my art or not. If they're like, go paint an iPhone on a building, I'm like, okay, I got to realize that I can make money doing this. Whether it was my art or not, that was beside the point. So I'm like, oh, I could make money painting an iPhone on a building. Yeah. Awesome. That paid the bills. Bring a team. Do more of these projects. So doing these projects showed me the potential of earning money. So then I didn't have the fear that I wouldn't earn money. Then it's just building everything else out. Everything just keeps happening because I keep pushing forward. And I'm believing in something bigger than myself. And over these murals and my sayings and what I'm putting up is for people. We're all mirrors of each other. So if I'm putting something up for me, it may mean something for me, but it will mean something completely different for you.
100%. I see that in a lot of your messages. Like, I see something, I'm like, oh my God, I needed that today. But that might not be what someone needs to hear today, mm-hmm. or that might hit someone totally different. Before we go into that, because I want to talk about all of your little messages and your art, I want to hit that mediocrity thing again, because I think that's so important. And I know that that's really something I think about in my life, where it's like living in that phase of, gosh, I know that a lot of this other stuff isn't really working for me. I see inspiration and opportunity on the other side, but I'm scared to leave the paycheck. I'm scared to like take the leap. Where do you find bravery in that? Like, where do you find, and this is I think a big part of your message, it's choosing love instead of fear. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Because the fear kind of never goes away. Like, I think about any time I've been in a place where I did have to kind of take the jump, the fear was always there, but I was able to find strength to do anyway. Where do you find that bravery for you?
So you're right. Fear is always there. And we either operate out of fear or we operate out of love. Yeah. And the way I define the difference between the two is, when you're operating out of fear, you're just reacting to everything. So you're never really in front of it, right? Look at 2020. If you're purely living in fear, I mean, this is one of the hardest years for a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, but if you look at it through love, there's definite ways you can find, you know, the silver lining and find good and be proactive and realize that you're not a victim to this. Like, it's happening to everybody. So where do I find the courage? You know what I like to tell people is, look back at wins that you've already had when you took that chance on yourself. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I won there and I was brave. I won there and I was brave. And you'll start seeing a pattern on how many times you won and succeeded because you were brave.
Wow.
But the fear is just so much more powerful.
It is. nobody wants to fall on their face once they take a leap and you realize, oh, great, I forgot to put the parachute on or whatever, you know, like that's a very scary feeling. But I love kind of expanding into when you see the evidence. I was talking to someone about this morning, actually. It's like when you see the evidence in the past of things that have happened and that you were taken care of every single time, you know, but I know that there's a lot of people out there too, that have never even taken that opportunity to really be brave. You know, they're like, oh, well, I felt like I couldn't live this certain lifestyle because my family wanted me to be this kind of person, or I had to chase this kind of success, you know, and then here they are in their 30s, completely miserable and unhappy, never have taken a chance, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, what would you tell someone in that position right now that's listening, that's like, God, I want to take these opportunities. I want to take this chance, but I'm just terrified. Like, what would you tell that person?
You know, I mean, there is a lot of factors that play into everything, right? It's not as easy as 1 + 1 = 2. It's like a² + b² = c². You know, like all these extra theorems and
divided
equations.
By infinity.
Yeah, exactly. With a standard deviation of 3.
Yeah.
What I will say is, look, life is now and it's your life. Like a lot of us carry this guilt of what the family puts on us.
For sure.
But if you say thank you, I'm like, thank you for the choices you made to give me the opportunity I have right now. Now let me go seize this opportunity. Instead of looking at it or feeling this, because I mean, I've felt it before. I did this for you. Here's the guilt. Now you have to do X, Y, and Z. So there's a big difference, and that guilt is heavy. And
it is.
You know,
and it's a prison almost, you know. Definitely.
It is, and it can be. And it's people make choices for people out of love, but that is their choice.
Yeah.
Right? If you chose to do, I don't know what, let's make it simple. You know, in the old movies when the guy would take his jacket off, put it over the rain puddle. So the woman could walk in it and not get wet. But right. Now your jacket's destroyed. I couldn't get mad for doing that after she stepped and wrecked the jacket because I chose to do that for her.
That's a
right?
good point.
Now,
yeah.
Like she walks in and like, well, now you have to buy me a new jacket. I'm like, that's just messed up. So like, that's a good, that just came to me actually.
No, that's a really, really, really good analogy. We are in choice. And I think a lot of us feel like we're not. I felt that way. I mean, I look back probably the last 3 years of my life where I really say, oh, I kind of have taken back my power in a sense of like, I didn't feel like I had a choice. I felt like, well, this is the way I was raised, or this is what I was taught to believe, or there is another side to it. And there is things to explore. And if you're anything like me, which I can tell you right now, you are an adventurer and a seeker, and you want to explore everything and see all the options. I know that that is for me, but you know, it is scary and it does bring you into all these new opportunities that you're like, okay, I just need to focus on one thing because you know, it just opens up a lot of things. But anyway, yes. Now I love that. And I want to talk about your art, and you started a tech platform called Beautify Earth. I'll let you kind of, I kind of know what it is, but I want you to tell everyone.
Yeah. So Beautify Earth, the nonprofit, started 7 years ago now, with Evan and a couple other people. And that was just bringing creativity and art to blighted, apathetic neighborhoods and walls, right? Like apathy is real, and apathy will make you feel depressed.
Yeah.
You look at an ugly building, you're like, I don't want to go in there.
Yeah.
You know, make it a happy color and you're like, oh, this is cool. This is where I want to go in. Like
totally
it's just
different.
As simple as changing the color. So from doing that for many years, last year, man, well, we're almost over a year again. We spun that off into a tech platform. So we call it Beautify now to kind of distinguish it, but it's beautifyearth.com. And it is kind of like a mashup of the Airbnb of murals and like an Upwork and a marketplace in that sense. So landlords could upload their buildings and say, hey, here's my wall. It's available. I'd love to get a mural on it via multiple options. They can commission it themselves and match up with an artist, because artists have their own profiles and they upload their resumes and their completed portfolio.
Cool.
And they're like, ooh, I like you and I want that on my bill. And then they negotiate between each other as a budget or whatnot. Sometimes the landlords don't have any money, so they just load up their wall and they wait for someone to either, hey, I'd love to paint it for nothing, or a brand comes in and sponsors the wall and the artist and puts it all together. So sponsors can come in and sign up and sponsor walls and artists as well.
Wow, that's really, really neat. And are they all based off of this message of love and living through love?
No, that's my personal mission, but
okay. So yes, these can be anything.
Yes, it could be anything. Yeah, it's not my art only. There's hundreds of artists on the platform.
That's great.
There's millions of walls. There's millions of walls on the planet, and I know I can't paint them all, and we can't paint them all as a whole. We need everyone to collectively help us do it. So the act of beautifying Earth, many people do it in many different ways. We choose to do it through art and paint, right? Mm. Some people do electric vehicles. Some people recycle. Some people do beach cleanups. Some people are vegans. You know, the way you choose to do whatever you want to impact the Earth for a benefit is how you beautify Earth. So we're not just saying like there's only one way to do it. Just go out there and beautify Earth. And beautifying Earth is living through love. So like it's just all tied together.
It's an act of love. Yeah, and it all goes back to creativity. We're all choosing our way and our gifts to be able to beautify Earth and make it a glorious masterpiece in the sense that it already is, but we can help to make it better. And I love
do better and be better.
Do better and be better. Exactly. I love that. And I love your message in general, because I just see it through your Instagram. I've seen it. I mean, just driving around town, I see the ways that you're impacting your community. Like I saw one thing that you did that really inspired me, where you had a bunch of kids in this one community, and they were, you painted like a mural that basically they went and painted their dreams in this one little square box. Mm-hmm. I want you to kind of tell it. I don't want to tell the story, but it was just encouraging them to follow these big dreams that they had.
Yeah. So this was early on. I think this was the fourth mural I painted.
No way. That was only the fourth mural. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was in Clarksdale, Mississippi.
Okay.
The home of Morgan Freeman and the Blues.
All right.
And we were supposed to meet him that day, and I just wanted him to say beautify Earth in his voice, but he got an honorary degree and they flew him somewhere. So we didn't get to meet him that day.
So sad.
But it's a really cool town where the blues began. It's so run down. As magical as it is, it's also just a dump and it sucks. But like we had a great time down there, and this project was with American Express, and it was about financial literacy. So at the time, I was still moonlighting as a financial advisor. Oh. So to me, it's like, oh, art and financial literacy? Awesome. Let's do it. So that's what it came about. And then the premise was I painted a girl looking out over a stack of books to the horizon. This was the senior, and she was graduating because we were working with the seniors that year. And she's gazing out like, what's next? And then I painted that big blackboard, like a blackboard in your class. And it says goals and dreams. And the whole point of the exercise was, how do you turn your dreams into an attainable goal? So I talked to them about how all these things are your dreams. Now go paint them on the wall, make it a goal, because you're holding it accountable to me, to the community, to your classmates, to yourself, because you're now making it real.
It's concrete.
So it's like become a dentist, become an OBGYN, get a BMW, go to the military. What else do they put on there? Authors and nurses and all these different things that were on there and that were really fun. And then it was a very powerful thing. Evan went with me on this, and then our other buddy at the time, Zach, was there with us. And when it was over, the three of us, we're talking about a 6'6" giant white man that looks like a football tight end. My buddy Evan, who's like, looks like a kind of tough little motorcycle guy. And then me, all three of us in a place that are like, who are these three dudes from Hollywood? Because that's how they call LA, right? Hollywood.
Yeah.
And we just start crying. We were holding each other and crying because of the power of that day. Like during the day, we had them singing and dancing. We had, and these are kids that don't necessarily think this way because they've been giving, they're in one environment and they don't know if they have a choice or don't have a choice. So it's really cool. It was really powerful.
Oh my gosh. No, I think it's amazing. That whole story just inspired me so much. I just love seeing art being able to inspire people so much. It gives people such an ability to share their perspective, no matter what kind of art you do, whether it's music like I do, like, you know, I'm sharing my perspective and hopefully that helps expand someone else's or help someone else see things a different way so that they can love people better and more. So I think that that's incredible. So what would you say is your ultimate drive behind your message, live through love? Like where is that coming from in you, from a very personal place?
Well, it comes from taking personal responsibility. There is no handouts in life. Like life is already the gift. You were handed life and this breath and being here and born here. Go make something of it. So living through love is just believing in possibility. It's believing in yourself. It's knowing you're enough and that you're complete. And that's not easy. I get it. And we're human. We're allowed to feel all the things that we feel. There's nothing wrong with waking up one day and like, I'm fat and unworthy today. Awesome. Now shake out of it as fast as you possibly can. So the practice of living through love is being able to shift out of it quicker. Because if you're doing it more often, you're like, oh, okay, I could feel that. Now I can move on. So it comes from that. And it doesn't mean you have to be the president of the United States to be a person of purpose, right? And we're not talking about current politics. I'm talking about the position. and or, you know, be a really famous actor or musician or this. You could just be the greatest mother on the planet that raises this amazing child that maybe becomes one of those people. You never know. Yeah. So it's about being the best you can be in the moment and not worrying about everything else or what you're not.
Yeah. And you see that everywhere you're driving, you know, there's things, billboards, like you said, telling you that, you know, you need the bigger boobs or whatever, you know, and for you to be creating these things that are telling people that they're enough to be able, we need that more. I wish every billboard and every wall that we drove by had a message that reminded us of that. Imagine what kind of a world we'd live in if we weren't told that we weren't. So what you're doing is truly gifting someone every day they drive somewhere. You know, it's a whole new narrative. So I really appreciate that. And I have one more question for you. Just, you have a new baby coming. Actually, I have two questions for you, but you have a new baby coming, and congratulations to you guys on that, by the way. But that's kind of like a whole new canvas for you in a sense, like a person to kind of mold and shape, you know, and you have this incredible opportunity to instill this person with this mentality of living through love. And I know that that's probably a terrifying thing to look at and go, God, I don't want to screw someone up. So I know this is a scary question, but what's your plan in raising your first child with this mentality? You have an amazing wife, Z, who has an incredible story as well. But do you guys have a plan to kind of say, okay, this is what I'm going to instill in our baby boy?
No.
Love it.
Plans are meant to be thrown out the window, right?
Yeah.
In many cases. No, there's no plan. Well, he's going to be walking by one. And no. So you know what the plan is? This is our plan. If we can be the best people we are as people, that'll translate as parents and that'll translate as an example for them to see.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. Like if we could communicate as best as possible with each other. If we can show all those kinds of things, I think that's the plan. If we can be better people, and then we'll be better parents. Yeah,
absolutely. And being as conscious probably and awake as possible. And I think that the messages that you're doing, I mean, that's just what it's making people aware. And I think that it's only, you know, it's inevitable that you'll do that in your children as well. I think that's really cool. You have a new book coming out. Tell us about that. When is it available and what is it about?
Well, it's called Live Through Love. This is a book of poetry. It was meant originally to be like a working journal. But it came out so nice. I don't think anyone's going to want to write in it.
That's awesome.
Because there's exercises and stuff in it. So this is the first sample.
Wow, that's a beautiful cover.
So it's hardcover. And it's over the years I've been writing poetry. And it's a journey of self-love. So like the whole purpose of this book, which will be great. I think I'll open up a pre-order in about a week or so. Cool. And have them available in January so you can start 2021 really living through love and self-love. You know, New Year's resolutions always come. And I have a gripe with New Year's resolutions because it's like a double-edged sword. Setting them and writing them is amazing. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go accomplish all these things. But if you're putting goals down that you already put down a year before and you failed miserably, all you think about is how you failed and why should I bother and why should I get better? And I've only learned this from many conversations and also doing it myself. But why not look at it and say, for example, in 2020, I wrote down that I'm going to lose 35 pounds. Awesome. Go you, right? 2020 hit and you're like, oh, wow, I gained 35 pounds. That's terrible.
Right.
That would be like, imagine trying to put that goal and looking at it. But let's say you didn't gain it. Let's say, look, I didn't get my 35 pound goal. I did lose 15 pounds and I did go to the gym and I did change my habits. So why don't you in 2021 say, hey, build upon the 2020 goal. Yep. Hey, you know what? I didn't hit my goal, but I did get almost halfway there. And I did make habit changes and things that are going to make sure that I get there this year.
Right.
And now build upon the goal instead of tearing it down and moving it away. So this just comes down, you know, what I say is when you love you, that's when.
100%.
So it's a journey of self-love. Like when you go from page one all the way through it. And I was, you know, it just became perfect time. It wasn't planned to come out for the start of the year. You know, I've been working on it for a while. It just happened to be. So I'm like, why not? This was meant to be.
So that's exciting. We'll definitely post a little link to that for sure. So I was reading the back of your book and it said to love yourself is to free yourself. And I thought that was really cool. And I wanted to kind of end on that because I definitely am all about the freedom, the living beyond the fear. Can you go into that a little bit?
To love yourself is to free yourself. And what I mean by that, I can give you an example. So in relationships in the past of past women that I've dated, don't tell Z, she's the only one, but you know, I've dated people that didn't love themselves and I poured a bunch of love in there, but they never received the love. So they were never able to allow that to hit them and to do what they needed to do with them. So they were never enough. So I would say that they weren't free. And then equally to me, if I'm not receiving it back and filling me back in, then you're kind of trapped in this relationship of like giving, receiving, but not really getting it back and forth. It's like, it's all energy that goes back and forth. And I remember I've always been a really big giver. And at the end of weeks, I'd be like, oh, it's Friday, I'm dead. And I'd be dead on the couch. And once I started doing more reading and learning, it's like, because I didn't allow myself to receive everything that I was giving. Wow. So I'd be spent at the end of the week. So those are like two examples of what it means. So if you love yourself, you're free because you're truly being everything you can be. Mm. And that's it. Nothing else really matters. So, and it's hard. I'm not saying it's not hard. There's days that we
It's a process, but it's all about the learning and the expanding into who you truly are, right? I think it's just all about the evolution. Wow, that's amazing. I'm going to leave that right there for you guys. And Ruben, I know that you sell a lot of your merch online. Where can people find you and follow you and see your work?
Everything is at Ruben Rojas and RubenRojas.com.
Awesome. There Super you have simple. It, people. So Ruben, thank you so much for the little ball of love that you are, or the big ball of love. and for the amazing reminders that you're gifting the world with. I really, really, really admire your ability to use your gift in such a beautiful way.
Be sure to follow Ruben at Ruben Rojas on Instagram, and be sure to check out his new book, Live Through Love, available now at RubenRojas.com. I know that times are tough out there right now and the energy is totally weird and tense, but imagine how many people each of us would affect if each of us chose to live through love today, to create love instead of fear. We can totally start a love revolution, you guys. So go out there and be love today. And if you're figuring out how to do that, you might not know where to start. Become a Love Freak member by joining my Patreon and signing up for weekly journal prompts where you can dive deeper in your inner work. Memberships only start at $5 a month and they give you access to all other exclusive content and perks. So go do that and I'll meet you here next week. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.